Could we begin the gospel meeting this evening in singing together number 15? Number 15. Oh, blessed gospel sound. Together in Mark's Gospel, Gospel by Mark, in the third chapter, Mark 3, and beginning with verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Two verses later on. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. We have a scene here that's not too different from the very occasion that we are at this evening. There was a place where people were gathered together to read the Word of God, to hear the Word of God. And they were in the synagogue. And it says, he entered into the synagogue. Why, this would make the occasion so much nicer because the Lord Jesus was there. And sinner friend, if there be one here tonight, let me tell you that the Lord Jesus is here. And looking upon this little company, and he's observing, and he knows the need, he knows your need, if you are here yet in your sins. This verse tells us there was a man there which had a withered hand. The Son of God had his eye on someone in that room, on someone in that synagogue, and he saw that he had a need. His hand was withered. And I don't think we're wrong in using a portion like this to speak of the gospel, and because a man in his sins has a need, and he's in deep need. We read that verse there, that all manner of sins shall be forgiven men. And there's a solemn warning there, but if you resist the Holy Ghost, if you blaspheme against the testimony by the Spirit of God, you are in danger of eternal damnation. And that's bad. Eternal damnation. That means forever away from God. And there's no one here in their right mind who wants to be completely away from God. Because away from the presence of God, it's just all darkness and sadness. You'll be among a company of people that hate God, and you don't really want to be there. And so the Lord Jesus comes into this synagogue. Now we're told in another place that it was the Sabbath day, and it says they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. See, today is Saturday, isn't it? That's what the Sabbath day was. It was on a Saturday. And almost 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus, on a Saturday, was in a synagogue, and he had his eye on a man who couldn't use. Luke tells us it was his right hand. He couldn't use his right hand. It's a bad thing if you're a man like I am and you can't use your right hand. That's my best hand. And that man, he couldn't use his hand. And the Lord looked on that man and his heart went out to him. And you know, his heart hasn't changed. in 2,000 years. We've sung the hymn, yet there is room. God's heart goes out towards poor lost sinners. And he's looking at you tonight if you're in your sins, and he wants to do something for you, just as he wanted to do something for this poor man. And it says they watched him. Everybody here, unless you're in a real bad state of soul, I think you're paying a little attention to what we have before us tonight. But those folks were there with the wrong intention. They didn't want the Lord Jesus. They wanted to see if he would make a mistake on the Sabbath day. They wanted to catch him going against the law. What a sad attitude that is. You know, if you're here in the wrong state of soul, you'll never get saved, sinner friend. Never. That's why the Lord gave him that warning. Such mighty works he did. And they rejected it. So you better be here in the right state of soul. Perhaps you entered this room in the wrong frame of mind. But will you sit still now and listen? We just read a few verses. Will you sit here and listen to the word of God? Will you see with us that the Lord Jesus loves your soul and he wants to help you? Well, these folks, they watched him, whether he would heal them on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. The world hasn't changed, has it? We live today, and every calamity that happens, people say, why does God allow this? Why did he let that happen? If God is alive, why did this thing happen? People haven't changed, have they? They want to accuse him. The same God, the same Savior God, who was walking in this scene 2,000 years ago. Today you can either reject him or accuse him. You can either own him as your Savior and go to glory, or you can die in your sins and go to hell. What will it be, sinner friend? You decide your destiny. I can tell you what the Lord Jesus wants it to be. He wants you to go to heaven. You'll go right on your way to hell if you have no heart for the Lord Jesus. That's a bad place to go, because it's forever. The Lord says it's eternal damnation, forever and ever and ever. Well, he came, he says that he could give life to men, and that he could give it more abundantly. That's eternal life that the Lord Jesus offers. And so he speaks to the man that had the withered hand. And that's what the Lord Jesus is doing to perhaps a soul here tonight, perhaps to several. Maybe there are a number here who are yet in their sins and who need salvation. And he's speaking to you. Are you going to resist him? What did he tell this man? Did he tell him to do something hard? He said, stand up. Stand forth. And that's what you've got to do, my friend. If the Lord Jesus is speaking to you, you got to wake up. You got to do something. You got to respond to the call. If the Lord Jesus says to come to him, you've got to come. Because if you don't respond to the Lord, you'll never be saved. This man couldn't have had his hand healed if he had just sat in his seat. He had to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you have to do. You must listen to him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we're reading from the word of God tonight. We hope we're not in a company here like was found in the synagogue. They should have been God-fearing people in that synagogue. But you know what they were? Just religious people. That's all they were. They had this outward form. We don't know what kind of a Bible, if they had any, that they held in their laps, maybe a roll, if they were wealthy. And they came to hear the word of God, pay outward attention, satisfy their religious feelings, and go home. and never give their heart to God. Well, tonight God wants your heart, my friend. And so he says to the man, stand forth. That took courage, didn't it? That took courage. Here's this man with a withered up right hand, and the Lord Jesus says, stand up. Everybody's going to see him. But he had to stand up. My friend, perhaps you have a background. Perhaps there's someone sitting right next to you that if you confess the Lord Jesus, your Savior, after this meeting, they're going to make fun of you. Don't listen to them. Stand up for Jesus. That's what you got to do. Decide for Christ tonight. That's what you got to do. The Lord Jesus said, stand up. How thankful we are that in this story, this man stood up. He recognized he had a need. I don't know if he knew the Lord Jesus could meet him in that need. But he responded to the words of the Lord Jesus. There's no strangers here to the gospel of God's grace. I don't think so. There may be someone listening tonight, but this is the first time you've ever heard about these things. Well, if that's the case, listen attentively, my friend. But our hearts go out to those who are gospel hardened, who will come to these meetings and even play games and make fun with someone sitting next to you to distract them from hearing the word of the Lord. Well, the Lord meant business. He was speaking to the crowd and he was speaking to the man. He tells the man to stand forth and he says to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Those were simple words. Easy questions the Lord asks. He wanted the people to answer him. Is it right to do good? Is it right to save life? How many of you would be able to answer that question? Imagine going into this synagogue and not one person could answer the Son of God. Not one person had the guts to tell the truth. You know, we must tell the truth. These issues are eternal issues. Tell the truth if someone asks if you're saved. Come out with it. Are you saved or are you lost? Have you confessed the Lord as your Savior or haven't you? It doesn't matter if you read your Bible. It doesn't matter if your wife or your husband is saved. If your brother or sister is saved, are you saved? Tell the truth. It's dangerous to do what these people did. It says they held their peace. They thought safety was in keeping quiet. But you know, salvation is of the Lord. You have to take sides with the Lord Jesus. You must answer his question. When folks got offended at the Lord, he asked some who were still around him, and they said, will ye also go away? And the Lord gave Peter such a beautiful answer. To whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that, my friend? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Well, it says they held their peace. Does the Lord Jesus notice these things? Does he notice neutrality? Does he notice indifference? Does he notice when we're not paying attention? When we ignore him? When we don't listen to the message? Certainly he notices. It says, when he had looked round about on them with anger. We don't often connect that with the Lord, do we? But doesn't it show us that he was moved? He says he was grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Do you have a hardened heart, my friend? The Lord Jesus looked at that company, and he saw hardened hearts. What a sad condition. And Scripture says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You think sinners would be ready to receive him, helpless on their road to hell. And what does he see? Hardness of heart. I hope your heart is not hard, my friend. If it is tonight, the Lord Jesus can melt it. He can soften it up. He says, Son, give me thine heart. So maybe tonight, if someone here will stand up for Jesus and give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You give him your heart and your life will follow right behind, my friend. And he'll give you eternal life. Well, he felt it. The hardness of their hearts. Did he sit down in discouragement? Was he dismayed? No, he had told someone to stand up. He had started a work and he was going to finish it. And I like that. I thank the Lord that he finished the work he started in my own poor soul. He saved me. Even though I rejected the gospel many, many times. And have been a sad failure since being saved, too. The Lord had his eye on that man. If they didn't want him, if everybody else didn't want him, why, he was going to go ahead and work with this poor man. He says, stretch forth thine hand. This reminds me of that story in the just say the Old Testament, and I know I'm saying. When Jeroboam made a false altar, he put one in Bethel and he put one in Dan, and he was going to take it upon himself to offer a sacrifice on a false altar. Both things are wrong. And a man was sent from God to tell him it was wrong. And that king was so incensed, he said, grab that man, hold him. And he couldn't pull it back. His hand became frozen in the opposite direction. He was caught red-handed trying to stop a man of God from proclaiming the message of the Lord. Here, this poor man, his hand is frozen in another position. But in every case, it's the Son of God who has power to deal with the hand, whether it's stiff outward or stiff inward. And you know, the Son of God has power to help you no matter what your condition is. The Lord is able. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. If you have any question in your soul, if the Lord Jesus loves you, if God wants you, if he can save you, erase the thought. God has shown in his precious word that he can help the sinner in any of his need. And so he says to this man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Power in the words of the Son of God. You know how come he is able to stretch his hand? Because the Son of God has power. Tremendous power. All he had to do was speak the word. Some scriptures indicate that when he did a miracle, he just thought the thing. And healing took place many miles away. Other times, someone would come behind him because they were too bashful. Is there someone here bashful tonight about confessing Jesus? Don't be that way. But come even if you are. Come from behind and touch the hem of his garment. And some poor woman did that, and she was healed. So the Son of God has power to heal. And we say tonight, the Son of God has power to save. Wash all sins away. Make us clean so that we feel comfortable in the presence of God. So that we look forward to being with the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power to save you, my friend. Don't doubt the power of the Son of God. If you're sitting in your seat unsaved, it's because you don't want to be saved, my friend. Maybe you say you're going to put it off to another time. There's no better time than tonight. Don't put it off. I've often said, don't grow up and be an old sinner and then expect to get saved. God, in infinite mercy, saves old sinners. We heard, I think, this afternoon of someone who got saved when they were 52 or something. Then God doubled their life almost. But don't put it off. Why not be a young believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why not trust in him this afternoon, this evening? And so his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, if we were there, if we watched that scene and saw this man who very evidently was crippled, he couldn't use his right hand. If we saw him stand up and at the command of the Lord Jesus stretch his hand, what effect would that have on our hearts if we witnessed such a thing? What effect would it have in your heart? I'd want to go to the Lord and ask him to help me get rid of my arthritis, my high blood pressure, my bad eyes, and the 600 other things that are wrong with me. Because I recognize that man has power, tremendous power. Why not come to him to have your sins forgiven? Those sins which are sky high. And the number gets larger and larger the older we get. Why not come to the Lord Jesus Christ now and have those sins washed away? Well, how did these people react? It says the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. That was the end of that gospel meeting. Everybody, with the exception of that one person, as far as the record goes here, they got together afterwards and said, how wretched the heart of man is, my friends. They wanted to get rid of the Son of God. They wanted to kill him. He was to die. All mankind could benefit from his death. Just doing away with him. They wanted to erase Jesus from your thoughts. Now, is that your feeling, my friends, in here tonight? After this meeting, are you going to say, oh, glad it goes? I think we know a little bit about that. For some of us, remember the days when the things of the Lord were not precious to our souls. We knew how we treated the Word of God. I've heard the testimony of some who got saved in later years, and it wasn't pleasant thoughts they had about the things of God. My friend, what are your thoughts tonight after the meeting? Are you going to say you're glad it's over? Or are you going to say, I'm glad I heard the message once more. And tonight I'm going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't want to be like those Pharisees and I think another place mentions another group. and seek to destroy Jesus. Do you want to put him out of your life? Is that what you want to do? There's no one here brave enough to raise their hand and say, yes, I want to put the Lord Jesus out of my life. My friend, don't do it in a practical way. Don't leave this room without Christ. Become a Christian tonight. Confess him as your Lord tonight. Decide for Christ tonight. These poor people, they took counsel together how they're going to destroy him. Well, we're sitting in a room tonight where I dare say most many are glad that they heard about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving power. And tomorrow, we're looking forward to coming together in his presence once more. What are you looking forward to tomorrow? Are you glad it's the last day of the meetings so that you can go on your merry way? Well, they took counsel how they might destroy him. My friend, don't destroy the Lord Jesus out of your life. You do that and he may destroy you someday. And he'll destroy you forever. But yet we're saying they couldn't kill him that way. He had to go to Calvary's cross and there give his life. And I believe each one here knows the story of the love of the Lord Jesus. And there on Calvary's cross, he didn't die for his own sins. He was holy, spotless, undefiled. And yet the scripture says, we did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. Well, then why would God deal with the Lord Jesus if he was a holy and a spotless person? Well, God took his sin, our sins, this man's sins and the sins of everyone else in this room who trusts in the Lord Jesus and placed them upon the Lord Jesus and dealt with him what would have meant for me eternity in the lake of fire. And there on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus paid the debt that I had run up against God, that each one here had run up against God, and he paid it. And he paid it in full, and he paid it willingly. He did it with his whole heart. And then he says, Father, forgive them. Beautiful. That's the gospel message. The Lord Jesus is the only Savior of sinners. Now, my sinner friend, is he your Savior? Think about that. Answer the question before the Lord. Could we sing in closing? Number 22. I close with a word of prayer.